Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events?
Call now.
Locally, dial 216-901-0933.
Or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight here tonight on AM 1220, The Word. I tell you, if you're driving around out there tonight, I hope you keep both hands on the wheel. Some places are pretty slick, especially south of here. I got on a highway down in Richfield tonight, and I think we were sliding around a little bit at first getting on the highway just because of the snow. That's not snow out there. That's the polar ice caps melting and breaking up and falling on our head. I mean, I wouldn't want to think that global warming is not occurring out there tonight. So, but at any rate, it's cold and the wind was blowing, the snow was coming down. And so if you're driving, keep safe out there. I hope you'll keep us tuned in as you're heading down the highways tonight. You're at home, stay in where it's nice and warm, and join us on the program here this evening, or stick with us. If you've got a call, we'd love to have you call in tonight. We've got a special program for you tonight. As I mentioned last week, David Pabas is with us tonight, the author of The Bible and Time, subtitled, Does Another Universe Exist? Examine the Biblical and Scientific Evidence. We're going to be talking with him here in a very short period of time. And we're about to talk about the nature of time and the Bible and heaven, things of that nature. But first, let's open our program with a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. We pray, Father, that you would bless our time that we spend here. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody tonight. Lord, if there's somebody searching for answers tonight, help us to point them towards the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior this evening. Father, if there's somebody tonight struggling with understanding the Bible, help us to be a help to them as well. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We've got with us in the studio, as I said, David Pabas, the author of The Bible and Time. And you can certainly find out more about him if you go to his website. It's the letter D, as in David, the letter D, M, Pabas, PABIS.com. He's got a new website, talks about his book, The Bible and Time, and we explore the questions, when did time begin? Is there a parallel universe? Where is heaven? When will time end? And these are just a few of the questions that author David Pabas explores in this fascinating study on the Bible and time. He's got a unique background in theology and applied science. And we'll allow him to give a little of his background here in a little bit. But David Pabas brings a new perspective and reveals information that's not really been discussed in anything else. I can say, having read the book, he addresses some things that I've never really seen addressed from a Christian perspective. Maybe somebody like Stephen Hawking or Albert Einstein kind of looked at some of these things a little bit. But they were limited in that they didn't understand the Bible and what it has to say. So we're going to talk about some of these things tonight, and you can join in the conversation here tonight. If you've got somebody who's interested in things like the origin of time and space and the universe and where heaven is, I want you to let them know that we're on the air tonight, and they can join in listening as well. So without any further ado, I guess, we'll introduce David Pabas. He's sitting across from me here in the studio tonight. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And go ahead and give a little background how you come to be here tonight, I guess, how you come to write this book.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. I appreciate the opportunity to come on and be a part of your program tonight. I was studying the general theory of relativity of Albert Einstein a couple years back, and the more I read his theory of relativity and looked at his conclusions, the more biblical passages started jumping out at me, and I started putting it together, and God just started speaking to my heart about things in the Bible. And with my background in science, I've always had an interest both in science and, of course, in the Bible, being a pastor, of course. And God just kind of put it together, and I'm not saying it's inspired like the Bible is, but God did give some insights through the Bible, and we're just excited about what he's doing.
And that's a good point because, you know, the Bible is not primarily a history book, but wherever it touches history, it's 100% accurate. And likewise, the Bible is not primarily a science book, but wherever it touches science, it's accurate. And, you know, the Bible talked about a round earth before anybody else believed that. So we know the Bible is 100% correct, accurate. God gave it to us. And certainly if it's accurate in the things that it relates that we normally think of, then obviously when we get into the origin of time and things like that, it's got to be accurate there. It's not going to fall apart in one area if it's going to be valid in every other area. So I thought a good place to begin when we think about time certainly would be in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And what would you say occurred in that verse?
Well, what a lot of people don't understand about the first chapter of Genesis, that statement, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, is a summary of everything God did. That's a summary statement. And we know that God created everything that we see and everything that exists in a literal six-day period. But the very first thing I believe God created was time itself, because in my search of the scriptures through the whole Bible, I can't find anything that indicates there's time in heaven. And that's kind of hard for us to understand because time is so interwoven in our whole life, our whole being, that we can't even comprehend that. But the Bible says that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that term forever really means a place where there's no time. And so the very first thing God did was he created this universe, which consists, of course, in time, from a place where time doesn't exist. So we can say that God, in no time, now the very first thing he did, and I call it no time because there's no time in heaven. I know that doesn't maybe sound right, but that's how I describe it. God, in a place where there is no time, created time. That was the first creation God ever did. He created time, and I believe that time's unique to our universe.
Now, what's interesting about that, and we've talked about origins of the universe and specifically looking more at the creation-evolution debate, but in this case, we're not so much looking at that aspect of it, where did life come from, but we're talking about where the universe itself came from. And, you know, I've read a little bit of what Einstein had to say, and I've read Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time, and I guess he's probably the Einstein of today. And I noticed that they all have a beginning, just like the Bible does. And sometimes when you start where there's a commonality, I guess we can say, we can begin to diverge from there. And I think even Stephen Hawking would agree there was a beginning, wouldn't you?
Yeah, Stephen Hawking believed that time began. Of course, he believes it began at the Big Bang singularity. We reject that model. We don't think that's accurate. But we do believe that time. And the interesting thing is, Pastor Al, these folks will all go back down to what they call the Big Bang. And you say, well, what happened before that? And they can never give you an answer to that. And interesting enough, Mr. Hawking said that at the Big Bang, which, of course, he says a giant explosion took place, and that's a common theory they have. He said time itself was created in the first 1/1,000,000th of a second of the Big Bang. Well, how can you have time created before there was time? That's kind of an interesting thing.
Well, and that's true, because if it was in the 1/1,000,000th of a second, then what happened in the 1/1,000,000th of a second? I mean, there would have been time there. You couldn't have measured a 1/1,000,000th. But, you know, we think about it. There must have been a creation of time, even according to leading secular physicists such as Stephen Hawking. They agree that there was a time, if I guess I can use it that way, there was a time when time did not exist. And that kind of leads me to another thought here. When we think of the nature of the universe that we're in, I know that at one time, we used to describe what was called the space-time continuum, kind of as the matrix of what shapes the universe and how we navigate through this universe and the physical laws that we have or functions of that. But that idea of space and time being a separate things has kind of changed over the years, hasn't it?
Well, actually, it was Albert Einstein that formulated the space-time idea. And, of course, Einstein was a very, very brilliant man, being a Jewish person, which I believe God blessed the Jews with some really, really great intelligence. And I just think that Einstein was a very, very intelligent man. But he wanted to combine space and time together. And Albert Einstein, interesting enough, said he couldn't even understand really what space was. He said it was a vague concept. And in our book, we narrow that down to the fact that we think there is nothing out there except time itself. Space is just something that we give a definition to because we really can't understand the concept of time.
Well, we're talking with author David Pabus tonight, the author of the Bible and Time. And we're talking about the nature of time and the universe and space. And as you were saying there, I was kind of looking at it. You know, a lot of people have a garage where they have a pegboard, you know, line the walls of the garage with pegboards where they hang their tools. You know, they got a little space for the different tools to go in the right space on the pegboard. In a sense, could we say that time is kind of like that pegboard that we sort of hang space on?
Well, actually, what I like to compare it to is a room. I always wondered when I was a young man, why did it take God 6 days, six literal 24-hour days to create everything? You know, why couldn't he just did it in 2 seconds or 1 second or in no time at all, which he could have. He could have absolutely did that. But what God did when he created time, I say time is the container of the universe. Picture a room. Picture a carpenter building a room. He builds the walls first, the walls, the ceiling, the floor. Then he steps into that room and finishes that room off. I believe that time is the framework of the universe. Then God stepped from no time into time and finished it off because he chose to work in time.
Well, and that would make sense because, you know, the Bible says that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And then it also says 1,000 years is as a day. And, you know, I always kind of wondered about this, and maybe this will lead to another thought as well. When we think about the scriptures, a lot of times people don't stop to think about what the scriptures say. And you'll frequently hear people say, well, see, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And so, or they'll look at that 1,000 years here on earth is like a day in heaven, is I guess what I'm getting to. But why don't we ever think of it the other way around? 1,000 years here might be like a day in heaven. Or I'm sorry, I just said that backwards, didn't I? I mean, 1,000 years in heaven might be like a day here. But the point, I think, of that verse is that time is irrelevant in heaven. And like you make the case in your book, The Bible and Time, it's irrelevant because there is no time there. And if there is no time, then a day, 1,000 years, it's incomparable because we don't have that framework to measure it by. And so there is no framework of time, and we don't sense its passage because it's not passing. We tend to measure time all the time. The clock is ticking. We're watching the time in this radio program. We only have so many minutes. The seasons are relentlessly moving through the cycle of winter, spring, summer, fall, winter, spring, summer, fall. The calendar clicks over, the months go by, and everything around us illustrates the passage of time, but all that's irrelevant in heaven. So maybe that can bring us to another discussion there, but let me give out the phone numbers here real quick again. If you've got a question, if you've ever thought about this and the idea of the nature of the universe and time in relation to what the Bible has to say about it, why don't you join us here? And if you have a call for David Pabus, the author of Bible and Time, you can give us a call here tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join in the conversation with your questions here tonight. And we're kind of centering on this subject right now. But talking about heaven in distinction with the universe, the physical universe that we live in, as I said, the subheading of your book, The Bible and Time, does another universe exist, examining the biblical and scientific evidence? What do you mean by that, does another universe exist?
Well, it's an interesting thing. I believe that heaven itself does not exist in this physical universe. When I was a little kid, we always used to think heaven was up beyond the farthest star. There was heaven somewhere.
Or beyond the starry sky.
Yeah, exactly right. That there was heaven was at the end of the universe. And in fact, when the Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin went out into space, he said, I don't see any God up here. Almost like he was going to go up into space and see heaven way off in the distance. And a lot of folks think that that's exactly where heaven's at. But the Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. Heaven's the entrance to heaven is exactly where the Bible says it is, and that's a whole lot closer than what we think. And we got to remember something. You know, heaven is what we call, what a lot of people call a different dimension. I don't like to use the word dimension because sometimes that's confusing. People think it's kind of a spooky thing and there's 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 different dimensions. But the truth of the matter is heaven's in a whole different place, and that's where time does not exist. And when God created this universe, it exists in time itself. And so we've got to get the doorway between time and a place where there is no time. And when we find that doorway, which I think is right in the Bible, all through the Bible, then I think we can find the location of heaven.
I think a good clue, perhaps, we might find here in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. We've been studying the book of Ezekiel on Sunday evenings at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And as we've been going through the book of Ezekiel, I remember back when we were in chapter 1 looking at Ezekiel and his call. And if we notice what it says, Ezekiel was on the banks of the river Kabar. And Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, the 5th day of the month, I was among the captives by the river Kabar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." And as you go on through chapter 1 here, you see that he actually looks into heaven, and he sees the appearance of God on his throne in heaven by the end of the chapter. Now, he's sitting on the banks of a river in what would be modern-day Iraq, and I would ask, if heaven was far beyond the starry sky, how could Ezekiel here, without a telescope, with his unaided eyes, just the two eyes that God gave him, be looking into heaven?
Actually, that's an interesting point you bring up, Pastor Al, and that's not an isolated incident in the Bible. From Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, we can see numerous examples where heaven's close by. We find in the book of Genesis, of course, some things where Enoch was translated and God took him. We find later on in the Bible where God called Moses and spoke to him out of the fiery bush. But you remember, he led the children of Israel out of a cloud and also out of a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And all through the Bible, we see all kinds of interesting things happening in the clouds all the way through the Bible. We can take that into the New Testament where Stephen was being stoned and he looked up into the clouds and he saw the heavens open. And we can take that thought right on through the book of Revelation. And it's an interesting thing. It's not an isolated thing. Moses got the Ten Commandments up on a mountain, Mount Sinai, right in the clouds. And God spoke to him again out of the clouds. Over and over and over again, we see that picture. When Jesus took the disciples up the Mount of Transfiguration, he saw heaven open in the clouds and talked into heaven from the clouds. And I believe there's a pattern that God set up through the whole Bible to show us where heaven's at.
Now, talking about that, this makes a passage in Genesis chapter 11 that people have scoffed at on occasion, starts to make a little more sense. This passage here is the Tower of Babel. And in this passage in Genesis chapter 11, the Bible says here in verse number 4, it says, "In they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.'" Now, they begin building this tower, and they said, "whose top may reach unto heaven." And I've heard people scoff at that, saying, "Oh, how in the world did they expect to build a tower that would reach up into space?"
You know, that's an interesting thing that you bring up, because I believe that what we're talking about in this book is not something that's brand new. I just think it's something that's been forgotten down through the ages. I think those folks back in those days knew exactly where heaven was at and exactly where the entrance to heaven was at. And if you look at Genesis chapter 11, you can find references before Genesis chapter 11, like I said, with Enoch being translated and God took him and different things, where you can see that pattern being set up before Genesis 11. So I think those folks in Genesis 11 knew exactly where heaven was at.
They weren't trying to reach outer space. They were trying to reach the cloud level, huh?
That's exactly right.
Well, here's an interesting thing with that. In Greek mythology, well, where's the home of the gods? It's on Mount Olympus in the clouds, right?
Well, the devil has a counterfeit.
Exactly. Yes. But see, that also recognizes an idea that we've been talking about here. Jesus, when he ascended, as you said, was received up off the Mount of Olives in a cloud. And what does 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 say when the rapture occurs? Jesus is going to come back, what, in a cloud,
right.
And we're going to be caught up to meet him where? In the air, and then we're going to be with him where? In heaven. So obviously the cloud, there seems to be some connection there. That seems to be the doorway into heaven, is not far beyond the starry sky, but actually much closer indeed. So that is interesting to think that the trip to heaven might not be that far at all.
Exactly, and it really makes a lot of theological sense when you look at the fact that God says when the Lord comes back to rapture away the saints, he's going to come to get us. The Bible says in Thessalonians, he's going to come and get us in the clouds.
Right.
It says, and we're going to be gathered together in the clouds and to meet the Lord in the air. Now you think, why would we be gathered in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air? The answer is simple. We're all going to meet together in the clouds, then walk through that door together back into heaven, because the door to heaven is at cloud level.
Well, and you know, you think of other situations, people who have been dying. Think of Stephen, the martyr recorded there in the book of Acts. What did he see when he was dying?
He said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of God."
Well, that's amazing. And you know, you hear stories every once in a while, credible stories from godly individuals who have on a deathbed experience, on their deathbed, what have you heard on occasion where people have looked up and they've said, "I can hear the angels. I can see, you know, somebody there waiting." And it's like that, like Stephen, it's like they're seeing into heaven. We also know in the book of Revelation, in chapter number 6, the Bible says this, as the seals on the seven sealed book are being opened, and as the, I believe it's the fifth seal of the book is being opened, right about there, coming down into verse number 14, here's an interesting statement. And think of this in light of your book, The Bible and Time. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 14, "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." And it goes on to say, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from what? From the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Now, what does that tell you? The heavens are rolled back as a scroll, and these ungodly people are hiding in caves and in the mountains saying, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. That's not something far beyond the starry sky, is it?
No, it's exactly right. You know, it's an amazing thing, Pastor Al, amazing thing. It's like you look up into the sky at night or look up during the day, and to actually think that you can see the door of heaven. Now, I realize that God has kept us from seeing that other than through faith, and only in certain times in the Bible has he allowed men to do that. But over and over and over again, and it gives me great comfort because I've got loved ones in heaven. It gives me great comfort to realize they're really not that far away.
Well, and the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. I think they can see what's going on. Of course, my question would be, with all the glories of heaven when you get there, do you really want to spend a whole lot of time watching what's going on down here? But I think the option is there, because we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And you know, I think that it's not just the angels, but I think it's the saints that have gone on before us. And that's an exciting thing. But we're talking with author David Habas, author of The Bible and Time. He's an electrical engineer by training, and he's also the pastor of Cheshire Hills Baptist Church in up in, I'm going to mispronounce the name of the city there.
Allegan.
Allegan. Okay, Allegan, Michigan. And you can find out more about him in his book, The Bible and Time, by logging on at dmpabis, that's dmpabis.com, and find out more about that. Stick with us here. We're going to have a short break, and we'll come back on the other side of the break for the second half of our program. talking with author David Pabas about the Bible and time. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church located in Richfield, Ohio. This program's brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church at 4767 Brecksville Road in Richfield. We'd like to invite you to visit the Bible Baptist Church. We're easy to find, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where Interstate 77 and Interstate 80 cross. And we have Sunday school at 10 o'clock each Sunday morning, our morning worship service each Sunday at 11 a.m., our Sunday evening worship service each Sunday night at 6 p.m. We also have a Wednesday evening midweek prayer service at 7 p.m. and a Friday night Bible study at 7 p.m. each Friday night as well. Each service is distinct, preaching through Bible doctrines, various books of the Bible, and then our Friday night Bible study is an informal Bible study. It's actually the source of this program. It's informal. You bring your Bible questions or questions about current events in light of God's Word, and we discuss them at the Bible Baptist Church located in Richfield. We'd like to invite you to visit, but we also want you to know the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But then the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commended his love toward us, we read, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that whosoever. That means anybody and everybody. If you're listening, you can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Why don't you come visit us at the Bible Baptist Church located in Richfield, Ohio, this coming Sunday or our Wednesday evening or Friday night services. We'd love to have you visit. And if you'd like to contact us, you can write us at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. That's P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. That's 330-659-6561. We'd love to talk to you. And if this show's been a blessing to you, why don't you contact us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield and let us know. All right, welcome back to the second half of our program, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight here tonight. And we are talking with author David Pabas, the author of The Bible and Time, subtitled Does Another Universe Exist? Examine the Biblical and Scientific Evidence. And we've been having a good conversation here, but you can join us tonight if you've got a question for Brother Pabas here at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Also want to give you a little more background and information about what's going on with our church, the Bible Baptist Church there in Richfield. The situation with our building there. As I mentioned last week, the owners of the building, we've been unable to reach a suitable, equitable agreement with them, and we are now looking for another place to meet. So we appreciate your prayers in that area. We're praying that we'll get not only an affordable place, but also one that's accessible, visible, and a place that we can actively be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We certainly ask for your prayers there. As I've said many times on this program, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield is the sponsor of this program, the main sponsor of this program. And that's why we haven't had to engage in fundraising and have other commercials and things like that. The drawback of having to find another location is it's more likely than not going to be costing us more money. And so we're going to need some help, in your prayers. And I mentioned last week, if you know somebody who would be willing to help sponsor a little bit of this program, or perhaps would like to put an advertisement on this program, contact me at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, 330-659-6561. That's 330-659-6561. We figure if we could get a little help in the sponsorship area there, we'd have no problem being able to carry on this radio program. And certainly we'd rather have a couple of sponsors rather than sit and do fundraising on half of the program. So do pray for us and the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. Certainly love to have you visit, as we said in the break there at the bottom of the hour. Love to have you visit if you're able to get out to the Richfield area. We're midway between Akron and Cleveland, not long at all from either location via the highway. We're right about where Interstate 77 and Interstate 80, the Ohio Turnpike, cross. Very easy to get to. We'd love to have you visit any of our services or our Friday night Bible study, which is actually served as the genesis of this program. But we're going to get back with our guest here, David Pabas, the author of The Bible and Time. You can view his website at dmpabis, that's dmpabis.com. Find out more information about his book and how to get a copy of it. And if you're interested in these things, I would recommend that. And we've got a couple of callers calling in already, so we'll be getting to those callers here in just a moment. And Brother Pabas, again, welcome back to the second half of our program. We've been talking about a variety of things. And maybe we can get into some other subjects, talking about angels and the need that we have for a new body, and why that might be, how that might relate to this subject. But maybe since we've got some callers online, maybe we go with the callers first. So we're going to take our first caller. We have John calling in tonight. And John, are you there?
Hello, Pastor Al.
Oh, good evening, John. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yeah, hey, you know, you were talking a little bit about where heaven might be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you remember where Paul was writing about, he was saying about someone who was, he knew a man
right
in Christ, whether in the body or out, he said he didn't know, but the Lord knew, such as one caught up to the third heaven,
mm-hmm.
heard words that are unlawful to be uttered. You know, he couldn't speak on what he saw. You know, maybe it was Paul, but he said he knew a man, so.
Yeah, I think he was talking about himself personally.
Yeah,
but
that seems to be right. But see, remember he said he was such as one caught up to the third heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wonder, I mean, it seems to, I mean, there must be some significance to that because he says the third heaven.
Right. Brother Pabas, what did you say?
Well, actually, the third heaven, the Bible talks about three heavens. The first heaven, of course, being just above the earth, the atmosphere. The second heaven being in outer space, but we believe the third heaven is just what we're talking about, a place where God's at, and that's a place where time itself does not exist. And it's interesting, I know the passage you're talking about, the Apostle Paul said he thought he might have been in the spirit, he didn't think he's really in the body, and it's an interesting thing because these bodies that we have right now that we're in cannot walk into a place where time doesn't exist. Physicists will tell us that the atomic structure of our bodies are held together by time itself. And so it's an interesting thing that I believe God did take the Apostle Paul into heaven, but in the spiritual sense, so Paul could see what was going on.
And that passage, of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 4 there, I believe. And it really is an interesting passage. Again, that idea of being caught up into heaven, just like the Bible talking about the rapture says we're caught up, and Jesus was caught up, and this whole idea seems to carry through like we were talking in the first half of the program. And so, John, I hope that helps with your question there
a little bit. Just one more thing real
quick.
Yes, sir. Remember, too, like John was writing in Revelation, and he said
right.
Yeah, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day.
Right, there in Revelation chapter 1, too. Uh-huh.
And he was, you know, immediately it seemed like he was in the presence of
right.
the Lord. I mean, at least, I don't know if that's...
Well, and... And like what you said, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, but he was caught up there in Revelation 4. There was a door that opened in heaven. And what would you say about that, Brother Pabas?
Well, we see over and over and over again where that term door is used for this this passageway we're talking about between time and no time, between the earth or this universe and heaven. is just exactly what we're talking about. The Bible uses that metaphor, door, over and over and over again. And it's interesting where the Bible, Jesus said he's coming back. He says his coming's even at the doors. And I think it's amazing going through the Bible all the time we see that term door. And I believe in Revelation 4:1 there, just like your caller saying, I believe that John there, God allowed him in the spirit to walk through that door, which I believe is at cloud level.
And that also would make an interesting thought when you think of the fact that he witnessed the 7-year tribulation period and also events of the millennium, which is 1,000 years, while in the spirit in heaven, but of course in a place where time does not apply, where it's actually immaterial, it would be no problem. It would be just, for instance, if you were you're outside of a bubble and you're looking at things inside of the bubble, you can see everything in the bubble, but those inside the bubble don't see that. So in a sense, you could think of this universe being a bubble. And of course, bubbles pop eventually, don't they? And the Bible says one day there will be a new heaven and a new earth.
Yes. So,
all right. But that's a good point, John. And that's actually a couple of things that we were looking at talking about this evening. So I appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah. I'll let you go. But I just was thinking
sure
of one last thing.
Yes, sir.
Fast.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ said he's the door.
That's right. That's right. I am the door.
Yeah.
And of course, that's the only way into heaven, isn't it? No man come to the Father, he said, what, but by me. And we're not going to sneak up another way, are we?
No.
It's not like Jack and the Beanstalk, where he planted a seed and it went up to heaven, and we're going to climb up the beanstalk there.
No,
it's only one way.
Not going to happen.
Right, exactly. And that's a good insight. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you. God bless. Thank you for calling Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we have another caller waiting as well, also named John. And John, are you there?
Hi, how are you tonight?
Good. Good evening, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Good to hear from you tonight, John.
Oh, thank you. I wanted to ask your guest if he felt that all souls originate in heaven.
Ah, that's a good question. Do all souls originate in heaven?
That's a very, very interesting question. I believe that, and just not to confuse the issue, but I believe that angels are eternal beings that God created in a place of no time. But man was an eternal being also, and people don't think of it that way, but we've got an eternal spirit. But our bodies were created here in physical time, but I believe at the moment of conception, when a person, life is conceived, mm-hmm. I believe that's when life starts, I believe God places that soul within that life. And I personally believe that soul is created in no time in heaven and placed in that soul and that body immediately. And I can't really be dogmatic on that because we are eternal beings and we do have eternal souls. But in Genesis, it said that God breathed his breath into man's nostrils and man became a living soul. And what that verse basically means is an eternal soul living in physical time.
So you feel that they went through a door, they were in heaven, they went through the door through time, and they became matter?
No, I don't think that we pre-existed in heaven, okay? I think that...
That was my question.
Yeah, I don't think we pre-existed in heaven. I think that God, at the moment of conception, creates the soul for that body, an eternal being for that body, and places it in that body. Now, I think that creation of that eternal being may take place in heaven, but don't confuse that with pre-existence. We never pre-existed before conception, okay? It wasn't that we had these souls just sitting up in heaven. That's kind of like Mormon doctrine. We don't believe that. We believe that God created that soul at the moment of conception, that every time a child's conceived, every time that happens, life begins, and there's a soul placed in that body.
Well, and I would add, too, that when God created Adam, the Bible says distinctly there in Genesis chapter 2 that he formed Adam from the dust of the earth, and then it says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and then we read he became a living soul. And I, too, believe that life begins at conception. I mean, biologically speaking, that's true because the half of the DNA component comes from the male, half from the female, and forms a completely new, unique DNA molecule, different from either the mother or the father. And at that moment, you have a unique individual, you have a unique life, despite whatever, political correct people want to, rephrase that. But, biologically, that's a fact. And I believe at that moment personally, too, that God puts a soul in that brand new embryo that has just essentially not much more than a fertilized egg at that point, but conception has occurred. When that DNA comes together, you have a unique individual, and I believe that's when the soul is created.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you say that you believe or disbelieve in the immortality of the soul?
Well, the soul, once it's created,
will
never end. But go ahead, Brother Pappas.
Well, like I said before, God created our souls, or our spirits, we call them, to be eternal, okay? Once God places that eternal soul, that eternal spirit, into a physical body, that soul itself will go on forever. And we believe that that soul will either, when the body ceases to function, that's what we call death, that soul will be separated from that body. And, of course, we believe it. The Bible teaches there's only one of two places that soul can go. If they know the Lord and they've been born again according to the Bible, then they'll go to heaven. And if not, they'll go to a place called hell. And we believe that that's what the Bible teaches. But that soul itself will never cease to exist.
But you don't feel that way about animals, though, do you?
I believe that animals are different. I don't want to get into it too much. Maybe Pastor Al, being a biologist, could explain a little bit about that with his background in biology. But I don't believe that God put eternal souls or eternal spirits in animals. Now, that doesn't mean we can't care about animals. Animals can't become special to us like pets and things, but I don't believe they have the same soul that man has.
And what would lead you to that conclusion?
Well, because God, in the book of Genesis, we see where God slew animals to clothe Adam and Eve. And, God would not have taken and slew those animals if they were eternal souls that were going to spend eternity somewhere.
Okay, well, thank you for answering my questions.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate that, John. Do you have any more questions for us tonight?
No,
All right.
I was always had a feeling that a person like your guest felt that souls pre-existed.
No, and I'm glad you brought that up, John, because that is a good question, and there are those out there that do teach that, and I believe that David Pavis had mentioned, like the Mormons, for instance, who believe that it's the duty of a good Mormon to have lots of children to provide bodies for these little souls that are floating around in heaven, but you don't see that in the Bible, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's good to clarify that, so I thank you for that.
Because I always thought that tied in with the immortality of the soul.
Yeah, see, what we're talking about is, in a sense, once it's created, it will never cease to exist. God himself has never not existed. He exists today, and he always will exist, so there's never a beginning to God and never an ending to God. We have a different sort of existence. There's a time when we did not exist, and we exist now, and there's never a time in the future where we will not exist. So when we use the term an immortal soul, we're talking about, in a sense, you could use the term unending. Maybe that might even be better in some sense, because unending implies something began. Once we began, we will not cease to be.
I always thought that immortality stretched both ways.
Well, for God it does. And as David Pavis has brought out, that's because in an existence based on no time, forever, eternity, these are expressions that we think of from a time framework, but outside of time, it's almost an irrelevant statement. It really has no meaning in a place of no time. But from our perspective, we see that we had a beginning. God did not. So we have God who existed from eternity past and will exist to eternity future. We did not exist in eternity past. We will exist in eternity future, either in heaven or the lake of fire.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
All right. Thanks, John. I appreciate your calling tonight on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And if you've got a question out there tonight, you can give us a call. We got a few minutes left in the program here, 888 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can join me, Pastor Al, and our guest, David Pabas, the author of The Bible and Time. And we did have somebody phone in a question. And the question is, how old is, But anyway, we'll get back to that question perhaps here in a moment. But, he's on the phone, right? I thought it was a phone-in question. Technical difficulties here. You can tell it's live radio. If this had been rehearsed, we wouldn't have done that, would we? I'm sorry. I apologize to our caller in advance. We have Bob waiting on the line there. Bob, are you with us?
Yes. How are you gentlemen doing tonight?
Good. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I apologize. I thought it was phoned-in question left for me on the screen.
Oh, so, that's okay, brother.
But,
I was just wondering, you hear here on the History Channel and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
the world's 20 million or 37 billion years old and all this.
Yes.
Now, biblically speaking, how old do you think the earth is?
All right. Well, we're created in time. Personally, I believe it's less than 10,000 years old.
Yes, yeah, so do I.
And there's good evidence for that. And I know people disagree with that. And good people sometimes disagree. But there's really no reason to believe that it's older. You know, we have, for instance, various dating methods. And somebody will come up with one and say, well, we dated this bone to be 20 million years old.
Yeah.
Well, they one time dated a live clam to be several thousands of years old. And it was live and happy little clam there. One of the things that I learned when I was in college is that when you look at dating methods, you get a large, and I do mean large, range of dates. Everything from maybe a few hundred years old to a few million years old. And the way that they decide which date to go with is based on what they think it should be. And then they, so if they get several ones different, they do that. And I'll let our guest chime in on this as well. He's got something to say as well.
Yes, we've got a whole chapter in the book entitled Big Bang or Big God, and we approach that issue of the age of the universe and the age of the earth and what we think the Bible teaches. So if you do get on our website and get a copy of the book, there's a whole chapter that, and this can go on for a long time, but I appreciate your call, and I appreciate Pastor Al bringing that up, because that's a great deception, thinking that the universe is billions of years old.
No, I don't believe in their carbon dating system in the way they do.
Yeah.
I mean, as he was saying, you could take a freshly laid chicken egg, and it'll come out 250,000 years old or such.
Exactly, exactly. And also another part of the carbon dating problem that people don't understand is that people assume that the way it works is you assume that the carbon dioxide levels and the proportion of carbon-14, which is a radioactive carbon isotope, is constant throughout Earth's history. That the ratio of carbon-14, the radioactive isotope, is a constant ratio to, I believe it's carbon-12, the stable form of carbon, and that's a constant ratio throughout Earth's history, and that the carbon dioxide levels are roughly the same. Well, we know carbon dioxide levels are not always the same. Al Gore's running around like that chicken that laid the egg, which global warming's turning out to be. But they're running around talking about rising carbon dioxide levels. We certainly know that at times in the past, for instance, when the Vikings were sailing around in their dragon boats, breathing out fire and smoke, I guess, the carbon dioxide levels were much higher then. Than they are now. We also know that the Earth was warmer then because they colonized Greenland. But when you look at carbon dating methods, all that goes out the window. And we know for a fact that under different circumstances, the level of carbon dioxide changes, the ratio of carbon 14 to carbon 12 changes. And so that can throw off, one little change can throw off your calculation literally by thousands, if not millions of years, and it does. And of course, the assumptions that you have to go by, it gives you such a broad range that you eventually wind up with, well, we believe this thing's this old because the rocks we found it in are so old. And we know the rocks are so old because this bone that we found in it is so old. That's the bone you're dating.
That's like Al Gore and his theory of global warming, when all those scientists went against him and they found out the ice caps were growing. All of a sudden it switched over to be green.
Yes, and also climate change. And,
yes, we're switched real fast.
And we're actually seeing a movement to the coming ice age, which is all they talked about in the 1970s.
Yeah,
and a lot
that.
Of people conveniently forgot that. But certainly God knows a lot more than we do, and the Bible has a lot of scientific evidence in it that oftentimes we miss as we go through the Bible. And I appreciate also our guest David Pavis being on with us tonight, talking about his book, The Bible and Time, because he's picked up some things that really we've missed. We've kind of left some of these things go to people like Stephen Hawking, who doesn't believe in God, and we're trying to let them set the standards as to what we as Bible-believing Christians ought to believe about the world. In reality, we ought to let God set the standards, shouldn't we? Bob, I like your question tonight, and we're about out of time here tonight, so I'm going to have to let you go, and I hope you'll call back again.
Okay, well, God bless you guys.
Thank you very much.
I pray a hedge of protection around your show for that Freedom Act trying to pass.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
And appreciate that. Thanks for calling Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And David Pavis, thank you for being on the program with us tonight. We've got a couple of minutes left here, or about a minute left on our program. I hear the music there. Give us your website and how to contact us and on your book real quick.
Okay, the website is dmpabis.com.
All right, I appreciate that. If you're interested in these things or know somebody is, visit that website, dmpabis.com, and get a hold of this book, The Bible in Time, and join us again next week here on Sunday night for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Good night. God bless. I hope you have a tremendous week this week, and keep safe if you're out there on the highways tonight. Good night, and we'll see you next week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al,
where your questions and comments are always welcome.
Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286.
Or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us.
Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. To learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church,
visit our website
at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or visit next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., the Bible Baptist Church, located at 4767 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Join us again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word.